Good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me? Okay. Mic is okay.
Okay. for the five people on YouTube, hello, Grace. Nice to see you. And maybe Chris is online or some other there. Akemashite, omedetou gozaimasu. Kotoshi mo yoroshiku onegaishimasu. I think in all the languages of the world, that might be the longest New Year's greeting. Maybe, you know. Just English is. Okay, what's the Happy New Year's in Korea? Okay, that's not that wrong.
Yeah. How about in Tagalog? What's the Tagalog in Happy New Year? Yeah, not so long. Not so long, yeah. Hakemashite omedetou gozaimasu. Kotoshi mo yoroshiku. So long. So long. Yeah. And lots of bowing, too, when you do that.
That's Japan.
That's Japan. That's Japan, yeah. Okay. Welcome, Christina. Welcome back. And please say hello to Hannibal and Ginny, your mother. We miss them a lot. So, and thank you for bringing Filipinos to the English service. Yeah, it's been a while, so. Okay, you have it in your bulletin, but I encourage you to open your own Bible to the book of John. John chapter 6, verses 50 to 57. We're not going to read it that much today as a congregation, but today just a couple of things, well, actually three things I want to do. I want to report on something, or announce. I want to announce something, explain, and invite. So an announcement, an explanation, and an invitation. Those three things today. And the first thing I want to announce is there was a typhoon in Bohol, in the Philippines, last month. It was very bad, yes. And so you can see here, this is a picture of, this was a video taken by one of our former English member, or English service members in Bohol. This is during the typhoon. You can see, you know, the winds are typical typhoon picture with winds blowing, the rain. But what you notice is the roofs, they're still there. But they're tin. They're tin and aluminum roofs. And that was on the 16th of December. And then 3 days later, our acquaintance, Redden, sent me the aftermath, the results. You could see that, yeah, no more roofs. And we're talking very poor. This is the countryside of the Philippines. There's things called nipa huts, huts that are made of grass and wood, and they're gone. You know, they don't last, they don't stand in a typhoon very well. And I wanted to show you this picture because this is a picture of a family. You know, it's not just homes that were blown away, but families' lives are you know, almost blown away. And so, this is a place where a family lived, and now there's no place to live. There was one picture I forgot to attach to this PowerPoint. A few days after this, I think on Christmas or the day after Christmas, I was sent another picture where they had made a kind of makeshift roof. So they could not rebuild their house, obviously, but they managed to find pieces of roofs from other homes and make one roof for the children and the women to sleep under. The food situation is worse. The president visited the area and said, "We have relief supplies and money to everyone here affected, so please use it." And he distributed the food and money. The problem is, if you are not registered as a citizen of this area, if you're not on the list, then you cannot receive any of the food. And so there are still some families and people living there. Our friend Redden as one of them. Because, you know, it's migrant, people are traveling all the time, and it's who has time to put your name on a list and register. So unfortunately, they're not able to get the food to everyone. So that's the situation. I just wanted to announce that. So what are we going to do? We want to do as much as we can. So if you're online or here, just to let you know that next week we'll take a separate offering, separate from the regular Mitake offering. And maybe you think, we did this last month in December. Yeah, we did. We did a special collection for a pastor in Kyoto last month, and that was a special need for Christmas, and yeah, that's what we'll do again for January. It's more blessed to give than to receive, and that's the verse of this church. And so over the last 20 years, this church has demonstrated again and again how generous it is. So yeah, I want to announce we'll take a special offering next week, especially for Behol. And it's just a small amount, but a small amount in Japan can be a big help in the Philippines. So yeah, just keep that in mind. Please remember that. And if you're online, if you're back next week, please keep that in mind as well. So that is our announcement for today. Next, our explanation. As you can see, we have the elements of the communion, the bread and the cup. This is the first Sunday of the month, and so it is Communion Sunday. And I want to explain a sort of refreshed translation of our communion prayer. If you've been coming in the recent past, you notice our prayer that we pray every time we take communion, but we have renewed this prayer. And let me explain why, but please take a look. This is the new version of the prayer, the bread prayer is. This is the body of Jesus Christ that was whipped and nailed to the cross. The body that was wounded to heal me and redeem me from suffering. I partake of it with a grateful heart. And then the prayer for the cup. This is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. The blood that was poured out to save me from sin and give eternal life. I receive it with a thankful heart. So that's the communion prayer that we'll pray today when we take of the bread and the cup. Now here's the old one. I'll read it for you. The bread. I believe that this bread represents the beaten, wounded, and crucified body of Christ. I believe that through Christ's body, my pain, suffering, and wounds are healed, and that my body, soul, and spirit are saved. And with a thankful heart, I partake of the bread. I believe that this cup represents the blood which Christ shed on the cross for me. I believe that through his blood, I have been given eternal life here and now, through the power of God's love. And with a thankful heart, I partake of the cup. You are familiar with this prayer, as we have been doing this for over maybe a decade here at the English service. So let's put them side by side. And you can see the difference probably immediately. This is the prayer for the bread. In the old version, you'll notice this word, represents. This bread is a symbol, a metaphor. It's a remembrance. It represents the beaten, wounded, and crucified body. But in the new prayer, you can see it's not there. This is the body. This does not represent It's not a remembrance. It's not a metaphor. This is the body. Oh, Pastor Chris, are we becoming Catholic? What's happening here? Right? Ah. What's going on? And then if you notice, the next one, the cup. In the cup, I believe that this cup represents. In the new prayer, this is the blood of Jesus Christ. Pastor Chris, are we becoming vampires that we drink the blood of a man? Right? I'll give you two explanations. The first is from the language. The second is from history. Okay? So, actually, this is something I've wanted to do for the past two or three years now. And I wanted to do this last year on January, the first Sunday, but I just didn't get around to it. I've been learning and studying about communion and the meaning of the sacraments and of the Eucharist, as it's called, the Lord's Supper, for the past 2 or 3 years. And I've been learning more about its meaning and its significance and its power. And, oh, I'm sorry. Not only that, in the Japanese service, Pastor Hiroshi has updated the translation, or no, the Japanese. So basically, the old version, this was a translation we did, 2005 maybe? In 2005. And it was a translation of the Japanese prayer in the English, the Japanese service. And then here's what happened. After we put up this translation, the first translation did not have this word. The first translation was more like this, because it was close to the Japanese. But then, an elderly man who was a member of the English service for many years came to me privately, respectfully. He was many years my senior, but he said, Pastor Chris, I notice that in the communion prayer, we say that this is the body and this is the blood. And I feel uncomfortable with it. I feel it has a kind of connection with tradition and works salvation, where your effort gives you eternal life. And he didn't ask me to change it. He didn't say, we should do it this way. We should not pray like this. He just said, I just feel uncomfortable. And I was still, 10 years younger, 15 years younger. And I didn't know too much about that, or I didn't want to confront, be so strict about it. Also, the spirit in which he came to me and approached me was very respectful and humble. And so he was older than me, and I thought, okay, then we should adjust the translation to accommodate for a respectful believer. And so that's what we did. But that person is now gone. He's went back to his home country. But we've still used this translation for many years. And then, going to the Japanese service, I often read this and I think, nanka chigau. I feel it's a little bit strange, because I want to say, when we pray this prayer, we pray it together in community with our Japanese brothers and sisters from the Japanese service. Because we are not an English church with a Japanese congregation. We are a Japanese church with the English congregation. We are a part of the Japanese church. And so, if you feel uncomfortable with this, my number one answer is, this is the Japanese prayer. just directly translated. And in the Japanese prayer it says, Yesu sama no karada desu. This is the body of Jesus. Okay? The part here, watashi no yashi, kurushimi kara kaiho suru tameni. What's this one? No. Itamareta. Suffering. Sorry, this one. I like this word. Muchi utareta. Whipped. Yeah, that's new. But that's from the Bible, right? Yeah. So, that's my one answer. And also, that goes for the cup. 私のために十字架にの上で流されたイエス様の血です。This is the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. Yeah. And then here it says it again. 永遠の命、eternal life を与えるために流された血です。Poured out to save me from sin and give eternal life. This is the blood that was poured out. So, first, my first answer is, Hiroshi-sensei is good with this. I actually asked Hiroshi-sensei to send me the Japanese. He sent me the Japanese. I translated it. I sent him this English translation. I said, is this okay? And his message back to me was, excellent. Yeah. So I said, okay. That's the language. This is just the language from the Japanese service. that's a surface level explanation. I want to go deeper. Thank you. So this is a Protestant evangelical church. This is an Assemblies of God church. Now, for most of you, that doesn't mean anything, and that's fine. But the word Protestant is a new word. The church, not this church, but the church around the world, the Christian church, is 2,000 years old. The Protestant branch, or the Protestant part of the church, is only 500 years old. 500 years old. The Protestants came from the Protestant Reformation in 1500 AD. Stay with me. I'm doing history, but this is important. That means for 3/4 of the history of the church, this is how they prayed. This is what they believed. Not they, we. For the first 1,000 years of the Christian church, everybody agreed, all the churches that believed in Jesus Christ had no split. When we take the communion, we're taking the body and the blood. The presence, the real and true presence of Christ is here. And then, around 1000 AD, it's called the Great Schism between the East Church and the Western Church. And there was the church in the East, the Russians, the Greeks, and the Eastern Europeans, and in the West, the Romans and the Roman Catholics. And the Romans in the West were coming in contact with the Western culture, in particular, the Renaissance happening in the 1400s, the Enlightenment in the 1700s, where humanity was becoming more aware of reason and rationality, the use of our mind. And we have to explain things that were once mysteries. And so the Western Church, the Catholic Church, came up with this thing called transubstantiation. Yeah, don't worry, it's not an important word. Trans, across, substance. So they had this idea from Aristotle. There is the essence of something, and then there is the form of something. And what you had with the bread and the cup is you had the form of bread and the cup, but the essence was the body and the blood. But because we are sinful, we're human, what we see is the form. It's just bread, it's just wine. But in reality, its essence is the body and the blood. So that's what the Catholics were trying to explain in response to this rationalistic current of the culture. And then, in 1500, the Protestant Reformation happened, where there was a split in the West again. So you had the East and the West, and in the West, another split. I'm getting to you, trust me. And in the West, a man named Martin Luther, who was a priest, said, we can't believe in purgatory and selling salvation. We don't do that. Indulgences, all that. But there was one thing that Martin Luther actually agreed with the Catholics and the Eastern Church, which is, this is a mystery. We have words for it, but it's language that's only trying to express something that goes beyond our understanding. It is beyond our ability to fully comprehend. We can apprehend it. We can try to grab it. But to fully comprehend it, that's something we're limited as human beings. My daughter, I love her with all my heart. I have to say it. 3 years old. She can apprehend her daddy, but she cannot comprehend. What I mean? She wants to give me a hug. Now, if she hugs me around my neck, she can wrap her arms all the way around. But when my daughter tries to go around this part of daddy, her arms are not big enough. She can grab it with her hands. She could apprehend. But she can't fully wrap all of her arms. Does that make sense? Yeah? God is so great, so grand, so majestic, so beautiful, so immense, so... I don't have enough words. Sorry. We can apprehend with our language, but to truly comprehend completely, that's a mystery. You try to explain the meaning that Jesus is both God and man. You try to explain that Christmas is when the eternal became temporal. The divine took on flesh. We have language, but to say that, oh, this is how spermatozoa mates, you know, takes the chromosomes and it's X and the Y and the things happen. That's rationalism. That's scientistic, not scientific. That's the belief that we have to explain everything in order to truly know it. God says, I'm beyond your knowledge. So back to this. This is the blood. Historically, this is what our church fathers, from the apostles to the apostolic fathers to the holy fathers to the church fathers for 1,000 years, and then centuries after that, this is what they believed. And the idea of this representation, excuse me, this word, came as a response to the Catholics saying, we're getting away from that. This is just a remembrance. This is a metaphor. This is a symbol. That's new. That's young. Now, one final part of this explanation. Let's get to the scripture. What does the Bible say? All right. I'll give you some Bible. So you have it in your bulletin. I hope you have your Bible open. And I hope this will be a more satisfying explanation. Okay? So we have in John chapter 6, this is Jesus talking. And it's in your bulletin from verse 51, but I want to tell you what he says two verses before that. In John chapter 6, verse 49, if you have your Bible open, Jesus gives a very simple statement. What does he say? John chapter 6, verse 49. He says, I am the bread of life. Amen. I'm the bread of life. And then verse 50, here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. And then verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Notice, three times he says that. Verse 57, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. So one observation. Jesus says, eat my flesh, drink my blood, three times. Three times. He says, I know what I'm talking about. This is not a misspeak. I'm not, you know, saying something I don't know about. He says it three times. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Okay? And then, you don't have it in your bulletin, but actually in the narrative, in the story, a few verses after that, it says a lot of people could not understand and they stopped following him. Jesus, this is crazy talk. And they went back. They left him. And then you might be thinking, wait a minute, Pastor Chris, hold on. Jesus used symbols before. Jesus used metaphors. In fact, three chapters before, John chapter 3, Jesus says, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And then Nicodemus said, wait, Jesus, do you mean I have to go back literally into my mother's womb? So Jesus is talking about he's using symbolic language when he's talking about being born again. So why isn't this a kind of symbolic language about drinking my blood and eating my flesh? Right? But that is not the main problem. Actually, that's not the main point. There is something that we're missing that John is trying to show us in this language. There is one word that's repeated again and again and again and again and again in the passage I just read to you. There's different forms of it, but it's the same word. Do you notice that word? What is that word? Jesus says, I am the bread of life, okay? And then again, he says, I am the living bread, okay? And whoever drinks my blood has eternal life. Right? Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. The word life, living, live, is repeated again and again and again. What's that word? This is the good part. This is the gospel. This is the good news. That word in Greek is Zoe, right? You're familiar with the word bio, biology, bios. That's also life. So there's bios and there's Zoe, Zoeon. Bios is physical life. It's chemical reactions. It's physics. It's blood. It's water. It's tissue. All those things. That's bios. Jesus does not use the word bios here. Jesus, the whole time he's talking about zoe. And zoe is not physical life. It's both spiritual and material life. It's life complete. It's life how God meant it to be. It's life that God put into Adam in Genesis chapter 1. Adam was bios at first, but then God breathed his zoe into him. And then Adam became a living being. Jesus says, Jesus says, I came that you will have life, abundant life. And that's what my body and my blood is here to give to you. Are we catching that? So this whole argument of, is it symbolic? Is it metaphorical? Does it represent? Is it just remembrance? That is not that important. We're talking about zoological life, not biological life, when we take this bread and we take this cup. Are we following? Let me put it this way. I wish I could get from behind. I just need to talk. I want to talk. Okay? Listen. What's my prayer every time here? This is my prayer. God, don't let me leave these doors the same way that I came in. God, change me. Transform me. Make me a new man. Make me not a better husband, but a new husband. Not a better father, but a new father. Transform me. Change me. Make me different. That's my prayer every time I come. How is that accomplished? It is accomplished not by symbolically connecting, not just by spiritually connecting. I want to connect completely with the living God. I'm not taking created energy. I'm not taking created life. I'm taking zoological, uncreated, uninhibited life, communing with God, His very real presence. Why? So that I can have the power to love, forgive, transform, think new ways, grow in new ways. That's why. I want to be new. I want to live eternal life. I want to hear. How does God do that? He does it by giving me Himself. He did it on the cross, giving His body, shedding His blood to purchase eternal life for my sin. That's the great exchange. I want to come down from this mountain, not just spiritually high, but emotionally, psychologically, physically, that my heart is beating with uncreated energy from God. That these muscles are working with power from God that nothing this world could ever give me. That's what I want to go home with. Because that's how this world has changed. You know, we're almost done. I was reading today in Matthew chapter 4. By the way, if you're not on the one-year reading plan, I invite you. Join us. Yeah. Yeah. This is not an obligation. This is an invitation. So, let me explain. I make the reading plan every year, the one-year Bible reading plan. But I don't say, hey, if you don't read this Bible in 1 year, you're not a Christian. We don't say that, right? I invite you. This is what I'm doing in my journey with God. If you want to, take the journey with me. It's wonderful. It's an invitation. Yeah. It's the second day. There's only 4 chapters from yesterday and today. I invite you. get a copy, go online, it's there. Yeah, wonderful. But here's the second one. So Matthew chapter 4 today, there's one verse that I read at the end of chapter 4. It's amazing. Amazing. Jesus is in Galilee. He's traveling. He's healing people. And Matthew makes a list of everything that the people had problems with. So, and it's like, when you read it, it's like Matthew can't write everything down. He says, they gave him everyone who had something, who had a sickness, who had epilepsy, who had seizures, who had demon possessions, who had skin diseases. And just, Matthew just makes a whole list. He can't list it all. And it says, Jesus healed all of them. All of it. Not one sickness, not one pain, not one problem. Jesus said, no, I can't do that. It's too much. He healed every single one. How? He's God. He has a power that no one else has. And he says, I'm giving that to you. Take my flesh. Take my blood. Take it into your body. It's energy that no one can ever give you. You can't, it's not ordinary bread. It's not ordinary juice. You know, we're talking about something called essence and form. I'm not saying that when you take the bread and the blood, you become God. God never, we don't become God. There's only one God. But God's invitation is for us to become like him. To become a son and daughter of God. To become a child. This is called theosis. God is saying, I'm transforming you from just meat and bones to divine humanity. Be one with me. Just as the Son is one with the Father. And that's why Jesus says, just as the living Father sent me, I live. Because of the Father. So one who feeds on me will live because of me. I connect with Jesus just as Jesus is connected with the Father. Not so that I am God, but because I am a child of God. And so you have fire. What is fire? Fire is light and heat. Now listen. That's what fire does, but that's not what fire is. Fire is fire, but fire has light and heat. Please stay with me. Now, let's take a piece of metal, let's say iron, and I put that iron into the fire. What happens? The metal gets hot, and the metal becomes bright. Now, is that metal fire? No. It's still metal. The fire is the fire. The metal is the metal. But now the metal has the elements or the results of heat and light. It has the forms. It has light and it has heat, but it is not the fire. We, by taking this flesh and taking this cup, we have the attributes of God. That is transmutable. Forgiveness. Generosity. Joy. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Love. That's the light and the heat transferring onto us. We're not God. But we're getting life from God. So, that is my small invitation. I'm inviting you to come and join me as I'm on this journey. Listen, this is not what I was thinking 20 years ago when I graduated from Bible school. This is not what I was thinking 15 years ago when I first translated the prayer from Japanese. But I'm growing. I'm walking with Jesus. I'm learning from him. And this is something that I'm learning with. Learning. And you know what? I'm inviting you. I'm not challenging you. I'm not a challenging pastor. I challenge you to, no. Okay. I'm inviting you. I'm on this journey. Come with me if the Lord leads you. Here's one little thing, one small thing. I felt God was talking to me, okay? And one thing that I think I'm going to do this year. No, I'm not thinking. This is one thing, one of my New Year's resolutions for 2022. We do communion once a month. And so when we do communion in the afternoon, I'm going to fast breakfast and lunch for that Sunday. It's a small fast. And I'm going to break my fast by eating Christ, drinking Christ, taking Christ. I want to go into church with a humble heart, repentant, confessing my sins, broken before Him, have a mind of prayer, a spirit of supplication, and I want to rejoice and feast on Christ once a month when we take communion. That's not something I did before. I do have another fast day once a week where I take one day for 24 hours. I go from dinner to dinner and with no meal. Now, I don't say that to boast. I don't say that to say, look at me, how holy I am. And if you've known me for these years, I never talk about my fast day. But yet, I want to invite you, not a 24-hour fast, but a once-a-month morning and noon fast. And then you break the fast by partaking of the body and the blood. Yeah, something to think about. Don't answer today. Don't make a rash decision. But something, it's a journey with Christ, growing in grace and knowledge. That's all it is. Okay? So it's an invitation. Now, all right, that was one scripture that we read. We're going to read this scripture when we take communion. And then we also read this one. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took the bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Pastor Chris, it says remembrance. It's symbolic. It's metaphorical. Yeah. Well, is it symbolic or is it literal? Yes. Yes, it is. Okay? Now, join me. This is a mystery. I'm okay with mysteries. I'm okay with things I can't explain. And I want to invite you to be okay with it too. So, that's from 1 Corinthians. And then as we come, we'll sing this song together. So, all right, let's pray, and then I'm going to invite you to come and partake of communion with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I feel the discomfort in what I've just said. I feel the challenge in the words that I feel you've given me. And Lord, I don't come in opposition, Lord. I don't want to have a spirit of pride or arrogance. Lord, I just want to come as your disciple and your student. And Lord, I've struggled. As I know, it'll be a struggle for some, even in this room, to have this mind towards the Eucharist, the communion. So Lord, we pray for gentleness, we pray for humility, we pray for openness and malleability. But above all, Heavenly Father, we pray for love to cover over a multitude of disagreement or misunderstanding. Lord, we pray for you to lead us and guide us even through small challenges along the way. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.